Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again from out west, off the Pacific Ocean, the Golden State. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, on the internet and around the world. I am your host, Lauren Cartagena, and thank you. Thank you very much for joining us again for another edition of Radio Pangea. People often ask me what Radio Pangea is, and I say simply this. If you've ever watched a 24-hour news channel, and on the bottom of the screen is a ticker that crawls across, and oftentimes that ticker is carrying a news story that's actually more relevant and more news than whatever they're talking about on the program at the particular time. Well, Radio Pangea, think of us as that ticker going across the screen. And instead of you reading about the news, we report it. We report the real news, the vetted news, because real people do not like fake things. And with that, let's get to today's news. From Kuala Lumpur, VX nerve agent, a chemical weapon the United Nations classifies as that of mass destruction, was used to kill the estranged half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in a bizarre murder in Malaysia. Kim Jong-nam was killed February 13th, shortly after being assaulted at an airport in the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur, by two women who wiped the chemical on his face as he prepared to board a flight to the Chinese territory of Macau. South Korean and U.S. officials have said they believe North Korean agents assassinated Kim Jong-nam, and he had been living with his family in Macau under Beijing's protection and had spoken out against the North Korean regime. Malaysian police were investigating whether the VX, which is believed to be the most toxic known nerve agent and is banned globally except for research, was brought into the country or made there. The two women suspects, one Vietnamese and the other Indonesian, are in police detention along with a North Korean man. Seven other North Koreans are wanted in connection with the case, including a diplomat at the embassy of Kuala Lumpur. Malaysia has repeatedly urged the victim's family to come forward to help with the inquiry, while North Korea has demanded the body to be handed over to its embassy directly, sparking tension between the two usually friendly countries. Police have said the two women were paid to carry out the assault and have been told to wash their hands before fleeing from the airport. They had rehearsed the attack in a shopping mall before carrying it out on Kim. One of the women had suffered from the effects of the chemical and had been vomiting. Airport camera footage released by Japanese broadcast Fuji TV shows the moment they assaulted Kim Jong-nam. In a later clip, he is seen asking airport officials for medical help and rubbing his eyes and stumbling as he entered an airport clinic. Authorities have said he complained of dizziness and died on the way to the hospital. Now, VX is a tasteless and odorless and is outlawed under the Chemical Weapons Convention except for research, medical, and pharmaceutical purposes. It can be manufactured as a liquid, aerosol, or cream. North Korea is believed to have the world's third largest stockpile of chemical weapons, according to the Nuclear Threat Initiative Project. South Korea, their analysis have identified sarin and VX as the focus of North Korean chemical weapons programs. VX, in liquid form, can be absorbed into the body through eyes or skin contact and does not evaporate easily. After giddiness and nausea, exposure to VX quickly progresses into convulsions and respiratory failure before death. Now, that is according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It can be fatal after 15 minutes, according to the U.S. Army Edgewood Chemical Biological Center. Malaysian authorities requested Interpol to be on alert to apprehend four North Korean suspects who they believe have fled from Malaysia on the day of attack. They also want to question the second secretary at the North Korean embassy, though he has diplomatic immunity. The murder has strained relations between North Korea, which has been increasingly isolated in response to its nuclear and missile programs. North Korea has said Malaysia should be held responsible for the killing of one of its citizens, though it has not acknowledged that the victim is the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Malaysia has recalled its ambassador from Pyongyang for consultations. Now, we will keep a very close eye on this story because it does not look like it's going away anytime soon. A brazen attack in a very popular airport. In other news, the U.S. government will seek the extradition of former Guatemalan Vice President Roxana Baldetti and ex-Interior Minister Hector Mauricio Lopez Bonilla on drug trafficking charges, the embassy said. Baldetti and Lopez Bonilla were indicted in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, according to the statement. Each faces a charge of conspiracy to distribute cocaine and knowing that it would be imported into the United States. According to the indictment, Baldetti and others conspired between 2010 and 2015 to import cocaine into the United States. The embassy was awaiting the formal extradition request from the U.S. Justice Department. Baldetti resigned in 2015 and was formally charged for corruption last year. She has been in custody on charges of allowing and benefiting from an alleged customs gaffe scheme that defrauded the country of millions upon millions of dollars. Then-President Otto Perez Molina also resigned and has been in custody. In that scheme, companies paid bribes to avoid customs duties. Another corruption scheme ensnared dozens of people, while prosecutors alleging that kickbacks from government contracts were used to buy goods and services for Baldetti, including real estate and luxury vehicles, as well as $4.3 million in gifts. Baldetti was accused of receiving $38 million in kickbacks between 2009 and 2015 for at least 70, that's right, 70 work projects. On one trip to Miami, she allegedly spent $27,000 on designer shoes and clothing. The former vice president has denied all those accusations. She, however, has not faced drug charges in Guatemala. Well, not so good times for Petrobras. As we reported earlier, the CEO of Petrobras fled Brazil. Petrobras is Brazil's state-run oil company, and the head of it fled in the middle of the night to the United States because he feared some type of retribution for some schemes that have allegedly been committed on his behalf and the company's behalf. So here's an update to this. Brazil's state-run oil company, Petrobras, said its board had approved settlements with investors in more than four lawsuits in the United States, a federal court in New York has released. In a securities filing, Petrobras said the new settlement would raise total provisions for the lawsuits to $372 million in the fourth quarter, $8 million above the quarter ended in September. The company is settling with New York City Employees Retirement System's Trans Income Shares over allegations that it defrauded and misused company funds. Moving on to our Middle East news. The top U.S. commander for the Middle East made a secret trip to northern Syria to meet a U.S.-backed alliance fighting the Islamic State group, the alliance's spokesperson said. General Joseph Vattel, who heads U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, met with leaders from the Syrian Damascus forces in a first such trip under the new U.S. administration. Vattel made a similar trip to Syria in May of 2016, meeting with SDF commanders as well as U.S. military advisors working alongside them. But this is his first trip under Trump's administration. Founded in October of 2015, the SDF is an alliance of Kurdish and Arab fighters that have seized swaths of territory from ISIS across northern Syria. The United States has special operations forces advising the SDF on the ground in Syria, but no combat units. Vattel told journalists traveling with them in the Middle East that more U.S. troops might be needed in Syria, although he stressed local forces would be used primarily. Well, it's good to know that after all these years later, we still have secret military commander meetings in places like Syria, where supposedly the United States is backing moderate rebels. Remember that term? Moderate. We call them alliance fighters now. But a couple of years ago, they were called moderate rebels. And then U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said that they were going to win the war in Syria. Well, sadly, the war in Syria is now many years old. It's devolved into a huge civil war, and there are no clear winners, except for the fact that the United States has been running around in there with NATO for the past 3 or 4 years and have yet to make any true significant inroads. Supposedly, there was a ceasefire that was brokered between Russia, but that remains to be seen as to whether or not there's any political will for that to remain the case. It does not appear that there's going to be any peace in Syria anytime soon. And this story about Syria dovetails perfectly into our main story, our science story of the day. Nearly 10 years after a doomsday seed vault opened up in the Arctic island, some 50,000 new samples of seed collections from around the world have been deposited into the world's largest repository built to safeguard against wars or natural disasters wiping out global food crops. The Svalbard Global Seed Vault, a gene bank built underground on the isolated island in a permafrost zone some 1,000 kilometers or just 620 miles from the North Pole. It was opened in 2008 as a master backup to the world's other seed banks in case their deposits are lost. The latest specimens sent to the bank, located on the Svalbard archipelago between the mainland of Norway and the North Pole, included more than 15,000 reconstituted samples from an international research center that focuses on improving agriculture in dry zones. They were the first to retrieve seeds from the vault in 2015 before returning new ones after multiplying and reconstituting them. The specimens consisted of seed samples for some of the world's most vital food sources like potatoes, sorghum, rice, barley, chickpea, lentil, and wheat. The agency borrowed the seeds 3 years ago because it did not have access to its gene bank of 141,000 specimens in the war-torn Syrian city of Aleppo, and so was unable to regenerate and distribute them to breeders and researchers. The 50,000 samples deposited were from seeds collected in Benin, India, Pakistan, Lebanon, Morocco, the Netherlands, the United States, Mexico, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Belarus, and Britain. It brought the total deposits in the snow cover vault with a capacity of 4.5 million to 940,000 seeds. And lastly, in Nigeria, kidnappers are demanding the ransom of 60 million naira, or roughly $200,000 US, for a German archaeologist and his associate abducted from a northern Nigerian village. A worker at the evacuation site has said two villagers were shot and killed in a kidnapping gone wrong. The workers said he heard a man make the demand in a telephone call to the site superiors. The caller warned him not to invoke or involve the police or the security forces, and said that the worker who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to speak. Police, special forces, and a special investigation team for kidnapped have been searching around the village for Professor Peter Broning and Johannes Berger and walk them into the bush. The two villagers accompanying the Germans were shot and killed in a kidnapping, police spokesperson Alu Usman confirmed, adding that the police were not aware of any ransom demand, but said to be on guard while traveling in the region. And with that, you know the news. Thank you for listening. I'm Lauren Cartagena. Until we meet again, please, as always, think for yourself.